Okay, it's 2:09 p.m. We have Brad Schimmel and Matta Domczyk are on the phone. We also have Tom German and Jonathan Berry. Have I identified everybody on the line?
No, you've got Rich Snyder here as well, along course with Miss Vicky.
All right, Miss Vicky and Rich Snyder as well. So we'll go ahead and get rolling. We're attempting to locate the Secretary of State. The first item we have is the minutes from the February 18th meeting. They've been distributed. I'll make a motion to approve those.
I can second that.
Okay. Any discussion? Then all in favor say aye. Aye, Brad.
Aye, Matt.
Okay. Those are done. We're going to skip over item 3 for now and drop down to item 4, the replacement of the limited-term employee Forrester up north. And Jonathan or Tom, did you want to tell us about where things are at with that?
Yeah, if you recall, we had lost one of our LTEs early in the fall last year. We were able to replace that person.
Hi, this is Doug. Sorry I'm late.
Hi, Doug. We're on item number 4 of the agenda, and we skipped the loan approvals. We'll come back to that.
Yeah. Hi, Doug.
All we did so far
was approve the minutes, so we're just moving.
Having trouble getting to the agenda on my computer. Okay.
Okay. So we just started the discussion about the replacement of the limited-term employee Forrester.
That person was replaced by an intern. The intern has subsequently left, and we still have a need for part-time help there and in finishing off our timber sales and marking the Mud Lake site so we can harvest that timber. So that's why we had asked the AG for permission to hire a new LTE to replace that slot.
We got fortunate on this one. If you want to look at qualifications, this gentleman has a degree at UW-Stevens Point. I believe he has a master's in forestry management and is going to come to work for us without benefits for, I believe, $19 an hour,
yep.
Which is, I think less than we've been paying, but not by much.
Well, and I've approved the hiring, and I think it was necessary. First off, it's not a new position. It's just refilling a prior. It's not a long-term commitment. We can adjust this in the future as necessary, but right now, especially with the need to conduct some harvests up north and the other work that's going on, it's necessary we have this, I think.
I want to bring something else up unless there's discussion on this.
But this is Doug, just with a silly question. With all the snow up there, what exactly will this person be doing in the next few weeks?
What they're doing right now is trooping around Mud Lake in snowshoes and marking the trees for the bid that we expect to make.
Okay.
As the snow settles a little bit, and then the harvest would take place next season, probably in October, November.
I got it. Okay, thank you.
I'm going to bring up one other subject that I just want to have a heads up on. We have a good reason to believe that our real estate specialist full-time position is going to be leaving us soon because his wife has taken a position in Alaska. And I believe he's listed his house for sale and is intending perhaps of leaving. This is, what's his name again?
Terry Hess.
And
those are things you would call clues, right?
Yeah, those are pretty good clues. So I've asked John Schwartzman to investigate the possibility of us contracting with a real estate specialist as opposed to filling a full-time position or doing some combination. And if so, bringing in that real estate specialist while Terry is still here. We have been identifying, Mike has been really helpful along with Randy in developing a categorization listing of all of our parcels, especially the ones that are kind of non-saleable, at least by any reasonable standard. And we're identifying some parcels that we think, while they're barriered, for example, with lack of an easement or an easement in the wrong spot, a little bit of correction on our part will make them marketable and able to be sold. And we really need to step up our game in this area. And Terry is a good guy, and but I think maybe we want to investigate a real estate specialist, and perhaps on contract. So I just wanted to let you know that we're investigating that right now.
Okay. Well, we can keep me posted, and we'll put it on the agenda for a future meeting as it becomes necessary.
I just thought you'd like to have that heads up on what we're thinking about up there, because we've got 2.5 positions, and we really want to step up our game on moving non-productive parcels off our books.
Okay. Well, let's circle back then to the discussion about the loans, and we've got 2 loans on the agenda this month. Have these been approved for proper public purpose?
They have.
And
this is Doug. I was going to make a motion to approve the 2 loans.
I'll second that. Any discussion? Okay. All in favor, say aye.
Aye, Doug.
Aye, Brad.
Matt, I'll be no.
Okay. Then we can go on to, well, they're on to future agenda items. Any things anyone wants to address now? Okay, hearing none, then we can go on to the Executive Secretary's report.
Yeah, this will be short, and I'm going to hand it over to Rich a little bit, but as you all know, the state SIF is a kind of a low-yielding instrument, and we became, through Rich's investigation, aware of an opportunity through a farm credit loan that is 58 basis points reset monthly, very unlikely to go below that as interest rates look to be headed north. And it's a replacement for $50 million of SIF, which will yield us between $130,000 and $200,000 more income for the on an annual basis than with the present SIF. When I say that range, SIF has ticked up recently over the last month. It went from about 20 basis points to 33. So the conservative figure of 130 is based on SIF staying at that elevated level, which we think is probably not going to happen because they have what looks like a one-time bump. But we haven't verified that. At any rate, this is a highly liquid. You go ahead, Rich. I'm taking your thunder off.
Sure. This opportunity came to us primarily because the Fed increased interest rates in December, which had an impact on variable rate debt. And so, prior to the Fed increase, we probably would have an opportunity. But since then, the rates have increased well above what SIF was was offering during January, and since this is a liquid and very high quality security, we thought it was a good opportunity to increase earnings for the beneficiaries.
I missed. Did you say 50 million? What was the number?
Yes, 50 million, 50. It's about 5% of our portfolio.
Have we already done this, or are we talking about doing it?
We closed on it tomorrow.
No, it closed about 10 minutes ago.
Okay.
So we have purchased $50 million. Okay.
We have, yes.
This is Matt. I don't necessarily have a problem with it. If you're saying it's liquid, I'm going to have to believe you and just trust me on it. I don't think in the future there's any reason you couldn't just shoot us an email that you're doing it. To Doug's point, he asked if this is in the future or in the past. Let's say one of us had a major objection. It would be nice to have known, but I don't necessarily. So I just think of the future. If you're buying something, I would think of that amount, which is a large amount of money. I mean, so this is liquid. We could sell it if we wanted 6 months from now to get out of it.
We could sell it 1 month from now.
All right. That's it.
So it's highly liquid. It's as liquid, as the SIF is. And it offers to give us a little bit more return than what we can get with the SIF. It's a way of getting some money that's it's still a very low rate of return, man.
No, yeah, and I don't mind you guys trying to make more money. I don't have a problem with that.
Your view is noted. We did share this with Brad, and if you guys concur, we'll be glad to kick out an email.
Yeah, in the future we can do that.
Okay, well, it sounds to me like
anything
it was
else?
Reasonable.
That's about all I've really got on my executive secretary's report today. I thought we'd, in the interest of a short meeting, not burden you with much.
Matt, I'll just ask one quick question. I know, Jonathan, you said you were going to be working up kind of a, you know, investment strategy going forward, kind of a basis to work off of. And I guess I would just pose as you guys think that up right now, is there any way right now that you, and you're thinking about that, is there any kind of growth potential or growth funds that we could consider going in the future? Nothing specific to talk about today, but just something to add to the discussion going forward.
Rich and Tom and I have been meeting regularly on this topic. We have, in the future, gotten agreement from the UW Business School to meet with us. And I talked with the dean of the UW Business School, and he's put together, or is putting together, a team of his corporate and asset allocation specialists, and we will be meeting with them in the relatively near future with an eye towards kind of getting at the toughest part of this, which is an asset allocation model, an investment policy model, and then for us, the tricky piece is a smoothing mechanism if we go into more volatile investments for some portion of our funds. So when we have that together, we're going to share it with you immediately. And
okay.
Your guidance, we want to meet with DPI because a key to this will be trying to find a way. We know a way to do it, but, I mean, trying to get agreement with DPI and our stakeholders and grow this fund, at least at CPI, such that it has the same real value for future generations as it does today, that we're going to have to get some agreement from our stakeholders, principally DPI, that we will be allowed to retain earnings, both to grow the fund and to create a smoothing fund that will enable us to enter more volatile markets with some portion of our funding in equities, for example. So we're pretty close to it, Matt. I would say we will have a proposal by sometime in April something for discussion over the next couple, 3 months with the board, and hopefully be ready in May, June to start implementing it.
Okay, no, I appreciate that. And I guess if you do this thing with the business school, again, a heads up that you're meeting. I wouldn't mind knowing what's going on and possibly partaking in it. I understand we have a quorum issue, but if only I or only Doug wanted to go to one day, then or Brad or whatever, I think it'd be nice to know what's going on.
I think that's a good idea. What I had thought is that if we can get right now, we're going to be talking about the basics of our constraints and our goals with them. And I'd anticipated that I'd like to bring the team from the business school into a board meeting to have a really good discussion with board members about how this is being thought of and get guidance from you guys before we kind of put something in stone.
Makes sense.
Now, this is John. This whole topic is a little obscure to me, and that's understandable given it's new, but I really endorse that last idea of having this team come and give a presentation to the board, presumably at a face-to-face meeting, so we could maybe even ask some questions.
I mean, I'd really recommend that we do that. Bring them in, assuming they're willing, and I have no reason to believe that they won't be because Dean Francois agreed that he wanted to do this. Bring them in for a good discussion in an open, and then if we get into investment strategy, a partially closed meeting at the discretion of the board leadership.
This is Doug with a question. As you were sort of summarizing where you're at, and I'm not trying to hold you anything because it's all sort of in the development stage, but did I understand you to say that we would be giving less money to the school libraries each year?
No. And that's the important thing. It's one of our major constraints. is that we have a requirement to distribute all of our interest earnings to the K-12 school libraries. And as a result, we have, well, that's the requirement, but we've built an expectation within the school libraries that they'll have a stable and, frankly, now an increasing level of funding. It's going to be tough with this interest environment for us to give them an increase next year, I believe, but I think their expectation is probably going to be $35 million or so. So that's the constraint that we're operating under. That tells me and us that we need to keep presence in fixed income, municipal bonds, and loans to local governments to kind of get that nut met every year. What you do with a smoothing operation, Doug, is to the K-12 systems, for example, okay, if you'll allow us to retain long-term capital gains to grow the fund, that will increase the future earnings for you, and it's in your interest. If you'll allow us to give you a guarantee of a range of distribution, let's say it's 3% to 3.75%, that we'll meet that range by dipping into this smoothing fund that we'd like to create, which will be part of those retained earnings initially.
So what you're saying is that our obligation to distribute interest is, but we do not have an obligation to distribute capital gains.
Long-term capital gains only. Short-term capital gains would, under historical standards, look to me like they'd be treated as current interest earnings.
Okay. At the moment, or over the last couple of years, what have we been doing with long-term capital gains?
Last year, or actually in this distribution that's coming up, we're going to be sharing, I believe, $1.2 million of long-term capital gains as earnings. In the previous year, we had about $5 million of capital gains, but a largest proportion of that was short-term capital gains. If I had had my druthers, we wouldn't have done that, but we have. But even so, in the future, I believe that we'll be able to reach agreement with Superintendent Evers and the librarians, you know, because it's in their interest, and they agree, for the long-term growth of this fund, which will ensure rising earnings in the future. And if we don't have long-term growth, if we can't retain something about CPI or greater, it will be diminished real value returns. So we have the basis for a good agreement with them. And the key to it, Doug, is we can't diminish in any substantial way their expectation of annual distributions.
And part of the situation is that our increase in capital, which we used to have a great amount of from unclaimed property, et cetera, has diminished.
That's correct. And it's a little early to say that we're sure of this trend, but our estimation right now is that we're thinking that we're only going to get about a 2% growth in our total corpus from those two sources of unclaimed property and fees, fines, and forfeitures. There are two reasons for that. One of them you know a long time about, and that's the multiplication of municipal courts, and they take all the money and don't give any of to us, as opposed to state courts. And the second reason is interesting, and that is that with modern data systems and revenue running it, they're much better able to identify and locate persons who have unclaimed property digitally through a search. And so that's diminishing the rate of return from unclaimed property, which makes sense. So we project about a 2% growth. We'd want to look at next year and the year after before we'd say that that's a firm. But 2% growth is better than a stick in the eye, for goodness sake. That means all we need to do is make another 1.5 above our distribution to keep ourselves up at CPI growth in the fund right now. If CPI goes up, well, then it's a little bit more. But you know, you hear what I'm saying?
I got it.
So we're in an enviable position in a lot of ways, but that tells us it's time really to start moving towards taking action, and the legislature's empowerment with prudent person gives us an additional tool in our toolbox.
Well, Jonathan, Rich, and Tom, I appreciate your forward thinking on this and making sure that this will be a stable source for many years to come. So thanks for these efforts.
That's where we're coming from. I think those librarians are a rather formidable lot.
Folks, can you begin it? Hello?
Okay.
Sure then.
Yeah. Anything else on the secretary's report?
Nope, I'm finished. Thank you.
Okay. Anything else for the good of the order?
Nope. Matt, I'll move adjournment.
All right. I'll second, and all in favor say goodbye.
All right. Good night. Bye. Thank you. Take care now.
Good day.